All right, we are now in the book of Mark. Wonderful, wonderful gospel. Actually, if you look at the book, the gospel of Mark, many people and many preachers do not like to preach on Mark because it is abrupt. The story is quick. The story is short. Not many teaching of Jesus, but lately, if you go online and look at it, Mark, the gospel of Mark now becomes one of the famous preaching gospel that most preachers like to preach because it is short, it is abrupt, and it encapsulates the gospel in its entirety. So I hope you're reading along with us, because one of the best reward of reading along with us through the New Testament is, of course, getting to know the intimacy of our Lord Jesus Christ, to gain more knowledge of Him. And for those of us who have fallen off the horse in our reading, jump back on and start reading. Pick it back up. It's only one chapter a day. You can catch back up with us very quickly. So we are now in the Gospel of Mark. And remember last week that as you read through the Gospel of Mark, you will sound very, very familiar to the Gospel of Matthew, right? The story, like, I'm reading the same thing over and over again. Yes, but no. There is a difference. The Gospel of Mark from the Gospel of Matthew. For instance, the theme of the Gospel of Mark is different than the Gospel of Matthew. On your notes, the theme is Jesus, who is the servant of the Lord who is to come. That's the theme of Mark. He's the servant who is to come. Not the king, but the servant. And he is the fulfillment of the prophecies of the servant in Isaiah chapter 40 to 66. If you have a chance this week for fun, you can flip through your Old Testament to Isaiah chapter 40. You can read to chapter 40 to 66, and there you see a whole bunch of prophecy about the servant who is to come. But not only that, Jesus comes to serve the Lord as the servant of God, to offer the kingdom of God. This is known as the good news. When you read through Isaiah, it doesn't talk about the gospel. It talks about the good news. That's the gospel message. Gospel means good news. And finally, really important in the Gospel of Matthew is this, that the service that this servant comes to offer the kingdom of God to people will result in his suffering. More specifically, Jesus will suffer to offer the kingdom of God to people. And this suffering will result in his death for the sins of the world. To serve God is to suffer for God. And it's to suffer during this time, as we looked at in this series, known as the times of the Gentiles. The church age is known as the times of the Gentile, according to the book of Luke. To serve God is to suffer for God. To serve Jesus and follow him is to suffer for Jesus. Okay, make no mistake about it. That's what the gospel is about. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, Jesus said that very same thing. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely because of me or on account of me. And recall that the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Barnabas, as they go forth preaching the gospel message, they went to, in their missionary journey, encouraging strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue on in the faith. And how do you strengthen the soul of the disciple? How do you encourage people to continue in the faith? Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 22. Teaching them and telling them that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. I highlight that in my Bible. That should be in yours. In this time of the Gentile, in this church age, suffering is the normality of the Christian life. It shows that we are actually entering or in the kingdom of God. Now, I was talking to a brother recently, trying to strengthen him and encourage him, kind of like what the book of Acts is talking about, to remain faithful and steadfast in the Lord, to keep the faith. You know, people go through hard times, times of suffering, if you will. And then it dawned that as we serve God, we will suffer for God. And sometimes it's best not to serve God at all. Do you ever notice that? When I don't serve God, anything seems to go well, but then when I start serving God, things seem to fall apart. You guys know what I'm talking about? Right, right. Brother Keith, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
And then sometimes I just want to give up. Why do I need to serve God if I'm going to go through this hard time? It's like the Pilgrim's Progress. When Pliable was walking with Christian, and as they're walking, Pliable was so happy. Oh, we're going to the celestial kingdom. We're going to see all this great stuff. He followed Christian until right at the beginning of the journey, they fall into the swamp of despondent. And Pliable was like trying to dig himself out, struggling. Christian continues to struggle forward. Pliable's like, oh man, that's too tough. He turns back. He got out of this pond of despondent. And he says, if the Christian journey is met with this much despondent at the very beginning, it's not worth it. Imagine how much more despondent there would be later on. And he turned back and walked back to the city of destruction. But that's the Christian life. And that's the beautiful message of the Gospel of Mark. Through much tribulation, we will enter into the kingdom of God. That to serve God, we will have to suffer for him. See, our glory is not now. Our glory with the Lord is later. As the book of Romans chapter 2 states, for those who seek glory and honor and immortality, it is not now. It is later. We need to be like Moses of old, who according to Hebrews chapter 11, he chose rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. For he considered the reproach of Christ greater than wealth, than any treasure in Egypt. For he was looking to a reward, not now, but to the future. And that's the message of the Gospel of Mark. Our reward is not now. And if you're looking for the reward now, if you're looking for your best life now, you're not going to get it. Our reward is in the future. And that's where we need to look at our eyes and our gaze. Okay. The mark of God, the Gospel of Mark is an exhortation to suffer along with the suffering servant to bring good news. The Gospel of Mark can be divided to three parts, right? As you read through the Gospel of Mark, it's divided to three parts. The first part is Jesus' ministry in Galilee. That's found in Mark chapter 1 through Mark chapter 8. It is Jesus' ministry in Galilee. G-A-L-I-L-E-E. It's during the time of popularity. It's during the time when people are like flocking to Jesus as his ministry in Galilee. The second part is Jesus' message about his suffering on the way to Jerusalem. Because remember, Jerusalem is where he's going to die. Jerusalem is where he's going to suffer. So the second part, found in Mark chapter 8 through 10, is Jesus' message about his suffering on the way to Jerusalem. And finally, the last part, Mark chapter 6, 11 to 16, is Jesus' martyrdom in Jerusalem. That's when he suffered, he died, he was martyred, right? Mark chapter 1 through 8, Jesus' ministry in Galilee. Mark chapter 8 through 10, Jesus' message on the way to Jerusalem. And Mark chapter 11 to 16, Jesus' martyrdom in Jerusalem. Let's take a look at the first part, Jesus' ministry in Galilee. Briefly, a survey going through. Mark begins his gospel message with this announcement, with the announcement of the suffering servants and the appearance of the suffering servant. That's how Mark begins his gospel. No genealogy, no history about the birth, no genealogy like Matthew, no talk about the birth of Jesus like Luke, no talk about the word of God like John, who is God incarnate in the flesh. Mark jumps right in to the good news. Look at Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as is written in Isaiah the prophet. The gospel is known as the good news. That's what the word gospel means. And let me give you a few thoughts here. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah. Mark is talking about the prophecy of Isaiah about the suffering servant that's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And as we flip through the book of Isaiah, We know several things about this good news. Let me give you briefly. First, the good news is about the life of Jesus. The good news is about the life of Jesus. See, Mark starts out his letter by stating that his entire dissertation about the gospel begins with the life of Jesus. See, we think that the gospel is the death of Jesus, right? Hey, let's share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus died for your sin and rose again. That's what we think the gospel message is, his death and resurrection. We think the gospel message is the end of Jesus' ministry. But instead, the gospel message is the beginning of Jesus' life. It is, yes, it's about the death and resurrection, but that's behind. The good news is Jesus' entire life. Hence, when we read through the book of Acts, and we read through the message of the apostle as they preach the gospel to the Jews and the Samaritans and the Gentile, we notice that it didn't start with Jesus' death. We notice that the message begins with Jesus' life. They move from Jesus' life, they move to his death and resurrection. They first talk about Jesus' mighty works, his wonders, and the signs that he did. And then they move into his death. You have to prove the life that Jesus lived, because without Jesus' life, his death is meaningless. For example, look at Acts chapter 2, during the day of Pentecost. Peter stands up before the crowds of people, and he preaches the good news to them. And here is his message, verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourself know. In other words, you men of Israel know his life. You men of Israel, you have seen his work. You men of Israel, you have seen how Jesus lived. Then Peter moved to Jesus' death and resurrection. This Jesus, verse 23, deliver up according to the defined plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucify him. You killed him by the hands of lawless men. But God raised him up. That's the message of the gospel. It's totality. Jesus' life, then his death and resurrection. It's not about his death and resurrection only. It is also about his life. Peter did the same thing in Acts chapter 10 when he preached to a Gentile now. He begins with Jesus' life in verse 36. As for the word that was sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Verse 37, you yourself know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John had proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Notice how Peter, preaching the Gentiles, started out. Look at Jesus' life. See, why do we read the gospel? We need to know about Jesus' life. Once he talked about his life, Peter then explained about Jesus' death and resurrection, verse 39 to 40, and we are witness of all he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death, that is the Jews, put him to death by hanging him on the tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear. The gospel is about the life of Jesus. And hence, the gospel message is about the life of Jesus and his death. Notice the second thing. The gospel, or the good news, is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. It is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Mark mentioned that in verses 2, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah prophesies about this good news. Isaiah talked about this good news. And when we go back and read Isaiah, we notice several things about this good news. Number one, the good news is about the coming of God. The good news is about coming God. So when Jesus comes, he comes as a representative of God, as God himself. You see that in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9 through 10. Go up on the high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not, says to the city of Judah, behold your God. The heritage of the good news is that God is coming. But number two, the good news is about the coming judgment. Wait a minute, that's the good news? Yes. The good news is about the coming judgment and reward. We think the good news as blessings. It is, in a sense, for those who are men of faith. But when we read through Isaiah, the reason why God promised that he would come is because Israel was living apostasy, and he's going to come on the cloud to judge them. But if they turn, he will reward them. Look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10. Behold, the Lord comes. That's the good news. He comes with might, and with his arm rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him is both blessing and judgment, reward and punishment. That's the good news. And that's why when you read the gospel, you see both. As John comes proclaiming the good news, he looks at the Pharisees and the scribes. He says, you brood of vipers. In other words, you seed of the serpent, Genesis chapter 3. You brood of vipers. Who told you to flee from the what? Wrath to come. See, the good news is about the wrath of God. The good news is good news. It's great. It's about the blessing. The good news is about the wrath of God. But we can escape this wrath. That's the good news. Does that make sense? The good news is about the wrath of God, but we can escape this wrath of God by trusting in him, by kissing the king, if you will. Okay? Number third, things we know about the good news. So number one, the good news is about the coming of God. Two, the good news is about the coming of judgment and also of reward. Number three, the good news is about the coming of a servant, a messenger. Isaiah 41, 27. I was the first to say in Zion, behold, here they are. And I, God speaking, give to Jerusalem a messenger, a herald of good news. And this messenger, this servant of good news, will actually suffer to bring about God's reward and judgment. Isaiah 42, verse 1 to 3. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry, and here's the suffering part, he will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He brings forth justice through suffering. The suffering servant. As a matter of fact, in your notes, Isaiah, the suffering servant songs, is known as the servant songs in Isaiah. It's found in Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 4, we just read. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 to 6. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4 to 9. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13, all the way to Isaiah chapter 53 through 12. It is a song about the servant who is to come, and he will bring justice and a reward with him, but through suffering. Very, very beautiful stuff. And finally, fourth, the good news is about coming back to God. The good news is about coming back to God. The good news is not about prosperity. The good news is not about healing. The good news is not about getting everything you want right now. The good news is not about getting a good career. The good news is about having a good wife. Although he who finds a wife finds a good thing, you know, right? Proverbs 17, I love that verse. The good news is about coming back to God. You see that in Isaiah chapter 49, verses 3 to 5. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. He's talking about the suffering servant here. Verse 5, and now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of Yahweh, and my God has become my strength. The good news is to come back to him. That's what it's about. And that's why we have dedicated 6 months in reading the New Testament, to return back to Him. And that's why Jesus came. And that's why He's preached. That's the message of His preaching. And that message is summarized in Mark chapter 1, verse 38, as we go through the gospel. Mark chapter 1, Jesus, John the Baptist came proclaiming in the wilderness about the good news of Jesus Christ, of the suffering servant who is suffering to bring back justice. And Mark chapter 1, verse 38 summarizes that when it states that Jesus said to His disciples, "Let us go to the next town that I may preach there also, for that is why I came." I came to preach the good news. I came to preach the coming of God. I came to preach the coming judgment and reward. I came to preach about the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. I came to preach about the coming servant. I came to preach that you need to turn back to God. That's the good news. Are we living the good news? I mean, are we living the good news? Are we growing more and more deeper with God, turning back to Him? I'm telling you, that road to knowing Him is paved with suffering. I love what our sister Min Ju today said. She said she came to the prayer meeting, which I invite everyone to come to the prayer meeting. She came, she said, I think she's dedicating herself to the prayer meeting. She said that when I woke up this morning, oh, I dread coming. I didn't want to come. I didn't know what to say. I'm sitting here. I don't know. I dread it. Yeah. Well, in the end, she's glad she came, but it was tough. It requires work. It requires sacrifice. It requires, if you will, a certain suffering. But the reward comes later. The reward comes later. That is what we found in Mark chapter 1, verse 8. It is Jesus, is the coming of the servant, preaching the message in Galilee when everything turns well. But in the middle of chapter 8, Jesus starts shifting. He starts turning southward toward Jerusalem because He knows that in Jerusalem is where He's going to die, because all the prophets will die in Jerusalem. And so we talked about this last week, right? He's now heading toward Jerusalem. And as He's heading toward Jerusalem, facing His suffering, His death, He now warns His disciples. I don't know if you noticed this, but in Mark chapter 8 through 10, three times Jesus talks about His suffering. Three times the disciple could not understand that. And three times, Jesus tells them that they must suffer with Him. You got that? Three times Jesus talks about His suffering. I'm telling you, I'm going to suffer. But three times, they could not understand that. They reject that. Just like us today, sometimes we reject that. What, I have to suffer? Is this really God's will? If I'm suffering, it might not be God's will. If I'm in a small church and this church is shrinking, it must not be God's will. Man, if I'm like facing all this hardship, it must not be God's will. The disciple couldn't understand. But the third part, three times, Jesus invites them, suffer with me. Let's take a look real quickly. It's very interesting. Look at chapter 8, verses 31 to 34. Here, Jesus teaches them that He will suffer. Look at verse 31. And He, Jesus, began to teach them, saying that the Son of Man must suffer many things and must be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. But the victory that comes later, after that, He will be raised. After the third day, He will be raised. Right? I mean, the suffering servant, if you read Isaiah, will suffer. And I'm the prophecy, I'm the suffering servant. But verse 32, Peter couldn't understand it. Peter took Him aside and rebuked Him. Turned to the disciples and said, this will never happen, Lord. And as we mentioned last week, sometimes counseling people to avoid suffering is the work of the devil. Peter rebuked Jesus. You will not suffer. That's not how you can fulfill God's plan. That's not God's plan. No one suffered for God's plan. And Jesus looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your minds on the things of God, but on the things of men. And finally, in verse 34, He invites His disciples to join Him. And calling the crowds to Him with His disciples, He said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel, for the good news, will save it. If you want the good news, if you want to get back to God, if you want the rewards and escape the judgment, you have to lose your life. You have to suffer. The disciples still didn't understand. So you flip over to chapter 9, the same thing occurred. Jesus once again preached the same message, telling them that he's going to suffer. You see that in verse 30. And they went from there and passed through Galilee, right? Passing through Galilee, heading toward Jerusalem. And he did not anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. Then he gives a reward. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise again. There's a victory, but first followed by the suffering. And once again, they could not understand him. Verse 32, and they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to ask him. And finally, Jesus has to invite them. Come suffer with me too. You see that verse 33 to 34. And they came to Capernaum, and he was in the house with them, and he asked them, what are you discussing along the way? Because they want to be great. They kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. And he set them down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and a servant of all. You have to suffer like me. You have to be a servant like me, the suffering servant. And you figure that they would understand, but once again, they couldn't understand. So Jesus, in chapter 10, flip over one more chapter, chapter 10, verse 33, he teaches them one more time. We looked at this last week, so I'm not going to go over it. But once again, verse 33 to 34, he tells them that he's going to suffer. Verse 37 to 38, they couldn't understand, but they want to be elevated and glorified. Verse 42 to 45, Jesus summarizes, you will suffer. And you have to suffer with me and be the slave of all. Verse 45 says, So the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life for the ransom of many. You too must do the same thing. That is Jesus' message over and over again. I'm here and I'm going to suffer. Two, the disciples couldn't believe it because suffering cannot be the will of God. But it is. If you want to be great, you got to suffer. If you want to inherit the kingdom, you got to enter it with much tribulation. And finally, he invites the disciples to join him. That was the message in Galilee as he walked to Jerusalem, the urgency. And finally, the last part of the chapter, Jesus will face martyrdom in Jerusalem. And we'll save that for next week as we read through Mark. In conclusion, how are you doing on that? Did you want to throw in the towel? Are you going through hardship as you're suffering? And if you do you want to throw in the towel, give up? You know, I admit I do. I mean, this morning was hard. And this morning, man, I was about, you know, call up Mark, said, Brother Mark, can you just preach, man? I don't want to do it. I'm just having a tough time. But you know what? The gospel of God requires us to suffer for him. It doesn't matter how we feel. Doesn't matter what we're going through, it requires us to do things that we don't want to do. To walk even in the midst of uncomfortableness. Because the gospel of God requires us. We got to be like Moses, who sets his eye not on the here and now, but on the future when he returns and when the reward is. And there, as he set his eyes on the future, he walks toward it. I remember a long time ago, my father, when he was teaching me to drive. Remember that he drives us in, driving the parking lot? And finally, after we drive the parking lot, he felt that we were ready to start driving the street. I was scared. I was nervous. I took the street. I started driving the street. I was nervous. I was clenching. You guys remember the first time he drove? But the hardest part is the turn. Yeah, the turning. So if I haven't turned, I almost kind of run over the curb, right? You guys know what I mean, curb? And my dad looked at me, and every time almost ran over the curb. He's like, watch out, watch out. And finally he gave me some wise counsel. Because he noticed that as I'm turning, I'm looking at the curb to make sure I don't hit it. And as I'm turning, I'm looking at the curb to make sure I don't hit it. Well, guess what I did? I hit it. And Dad, do you guys remember this? Dad told me, don't look at the curb. Look at where you want to go. That's where you will be. So look at where you want to go. The car will automatically turn to where you want to go. And so sure enough, I had to train myself not looking at the curb when I'm turning, but looking straight at where I want to go. And I was just surprised. I actually turned to right where I wanted to go. That's Moses. If you're looking at the here and now, and you see that you're suffering, you're going to miss it. But if you look at the future, where at his return, the rewards that we get, you will endure all things, hand toward that reward, even suffering at this moment. That's the Gospel of Mark. And as you read the Gospel of Mark, I hope you get encouraged to stand up and endure all things for him. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your message. Thank you so much for the encouragement and for the strengthening, knowing that through much tribulation, we will enter the kingdom of God. Knowing that while we'll live for you in this time and age, and we're living for righteousness, we will face all kinds of things. But in the midst of all those, we will find our escape in you. We will find our escape. So Lord, as we read through the Gospel of Mark, may our life be uplifted, and may we have the strength to serve you all the more, to endure all things, to step outside of our comfort zone, to fall deeper in love with you, and to walk out that faith. We give you all, Lord God, that we are. As the Lord Jesus says, for those who seek to save his life will lose it, but those who lose their life for the sake of the good news will save it. So we seek, Lord God, the message of the good news. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.